Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Glory, glory, glory. God is amazingly good. Our Father is awesome. And tonight we give Him all the glory and all the praise again for another opportunity that He has given to us to come around the Word of God with the saints. I trust God that you're doing well, you and your loved ones, and you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever platform you are joining us on, wherever you are joining us from around the world, thank you. Thank you for being a part of our teaching service tonight. Glory to God. I have a lot of ground to cover, and I would like to be able to just dive right into it. So if you're ready, let's get our Bibles or whatever devices we use in accessing the Word of God. Let's bow our heads and share a quick word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for tonight. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hands upon our lives. Thank you for everything that you continue to do with us, in us, and around us. Thank you, Father God, for the blessings of this great and glorious season. We're super thankful, super excited about all that you have in store. And I give you the glory and I give you the praise. And Lord, I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters under the sound of my voice tonight. Whether they are joining us in real time or whether they are listening or being a part of this study at a later time, I pray, Father God, that you bless them. I ask, Father God, that you cause the light of your countenance to shine upon them. I pray, Father, that you do them good. Cause the Word of God, Lord, to come to them, Lord, with great clarity. Father, think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. Grant us understanding hearts. Cause, Father, that our ears are inclined to your word tonight. I receive great grace, and I welcome you, precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, great teacher of the word. Thank you for teaching us the word of God tonight. I give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight for this awesome time of ministry in the Word of God. We've been studying spiritual authority, the believer's authority and dominion. My goodness, last week's service, I know I said we had been at it for, I thought I said maybe 13, 14 weeks or something. And then after the service, I actually checked and I found out that last week was actually like the 20th session. So that's about 5 months that we've been at this. So glory to God. It doesn't feel that way. So that's an awesome thing. There's obviously a refreshing from the Holy Spirit. And there's just so much joy and so much revelation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So much revelation. And I know I would not want this to go on beyond 6 months for sure. that would be a record. Some of the ones that we've done in the past, some of the series that we've just dug into and studied for, you know, some of those I've looked at, you know, some of them were on for about 12 weeks, about 3 months, and they seem extremely long, right? They're like so long. And this one's just gone on for so long, and it doesn't feel like it. It just feels like it's so much shorter. So praise God. Thank God for the grace of God. Hallelujah. Well, let's dive into the Word of God. On believers' authority and dominion, the section of that study in which we have been the last couple of weeks, is total life freedom. And I made this statement last week. I want to start out with that. Read a couple of scriptures. Go and read about that woman. And then, oh my goodness, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't even know if I want to start like that. I think I may go to a couple of scriptures. Well, let's see. Let's see how the Lord leads us. Glory to God. Our total life freedom is in Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the eternal truth of the Word of God. Truths, I should say, plural. Because there are truths in the Word of God. Well, the Word of God is truth. However, there are truths that come out of that truth, amen, that in different aspects of our lives, in different aspects of our experience, in different seasons of our lives, the Lord uses these truths to give us illumination in the Spirit, to help us, to give us understanding. Amen. Listen to it again. Our total life freedom is in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and the eternal truth of the Word of God. Amen. So total life freedom is available to every believer. You know, we've learned so much about the believer's authority and dominion, and we thought we'd just take some time to talk about being free, because so many believers are not free. And this message will be superfluous to anyone who is not enjoying total life freedom, right? You can't exercise authority over someone when you are bound by that person, you know, when you yourself are strangled, you are under bondage and under captivity by that person. You can't exercise authority over that person, right? A slave cannot exercise authority over a master who has bought him or her, right? You serve at the pleasure of that master. Everything around your life is to make that master happy. Once you are a slave to that master. So you can't exercise authority over a master that you are a slave to. So this is why it's so important as God's children that we are free. That we ourselves, we have total life freedom. Right? We're not in bondage. We're not under captivity of any sort. Glory to God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Hallelujah. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have authority over every power of the enemy. Glory to God. That's our God-given spiritual authority. And in Psalm 91 and verse 13, oh, thank you, Jesus. That one has taken a totally different new meaning for me recently. Psalms 91 and verse 13. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That's complete subjugation. You will tread on them. You will reign over them. You will have dominion over them. And in Romans chapter 16, glory to God. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. Apostle Paul said, it's a prayer, it's also a prophecy. He said, and the Lord and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And the God of peace, he says in the Amplified, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Will soon crush Satan under your feet. So wherever you are tonight, whatever your experience is, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. The God of Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The God of Shalom. The God of total life prosperity. He will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Through the exercise of your God-given dominion and through the superiority of his eternal counsel. Hallelujah. He will crush him under your feet. In Matthew, this scripture for several weeks, just been in my spirit, and I just really hadn't been able to bring it up for a while. I was actually looking for the exact way it was put, and somehow I'll get there and I'll go past it, and I'll get there and I'll go past it, but the Holy Spirit would just keep bringing it back to me, keep bringing it back to me. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13. But he answered, this is Jesus, the words are in red. But Jesus answered and said to them, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. This is one of the fundamental principles, fundamental basis for living in total life freedom and enjoying total life freedom. The Amplified Version says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be torn up by the roots. Will be torn up by the roots. This is one of the bases of our spiritual authority and our total life freedom. Every plant, and you know, we have discussed for several weeks, plants that have taken root in many lives, many families, through generations. Plants that have taken root in people's lives and they can't break free because those plants have taken such strong root and they have occupied the places that the life of God should really occupy in those lives. Plants that have taken root in families, they are so deeply rooted because they have been there generation after generation. But Jesus said, every plant that has not been planted by my heavenly Father shall be rooted up, shall be torn up by the roots, from the roots. So this is what happens when people are set free from captivities and yokes. Plants, all sorts of demonic, evil plants. Plants from personal sins, plants from bad habits, plants from generational curses, plants from ancestral yokes and ancestral sins, plants that have created all sorts of complications and all sorts of death traps in people's lives. Well, when the power of God comes, those plants are completely uprooted, completely. You know, in John chapter 16, Jesus said unto the disciples, John chapter 14, Satan is coming. John chapter 14, from verse 29, let's read from verse 29 to verse 31. And let's just go straight and read this quickly from the Amplified Version of the Bible. John 14, from verse 29. We're reading this from the Amplified. It says, and now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does take place, you may believe and have faith in and rely on me. I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius, the ruler of the world is coming. And he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. Therefore, he has no power over me. I want you to see, I want you to pay attention to the particulars of what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in this scripture right here. Where, of course, in the last verse of that scripture, verse 31, he said, but Satan is coming. Satan is coming. And I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know, be convinced that I love the Father, and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. Rise and let us go away from here. Listen, Satan is coming. Look at that previous verse, verse 30. He says, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius, the ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and therefore he has no power over me. Look at those four major things the Lord said there. Satan has no power over me because he has nothing in common with me. He has no claim on me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. Therefore, he has no power over me. Well, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 that we read, Jesus said, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father shall be rooted out, will be torn up from the roots. Every plant. Well, if these plants were not planted by our heavenly Father, who planted them then? Who planted them? Because you remember there is that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ taught once about this farmer who sowed all these good seeds on his farm. But when he came back and those things started to grow, he saw a lot of like things that were destructive on that farm, which he did not plant. And there were all sorts of tears and there were all sorts of evil things that were actually hurting the actual seeds, the actual things, the good, pure seeds that should be growing on that field. And then that man said, the enemy has done this. The enemy has done this. Hallelujah. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Masika bradiste. Glory to God. Please forgive me. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for this break. I just needed to find that scripture, that parable. It's also in Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 13. Forgive me for that break. That dead space is not, it's not good for a virtual meeting, but I just needed to find that scripture. Just as it came up, I hadn't prepared it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 28. Let's read that scripture real quickly. Look at it. Matthew chapter 13. Let's read from verse 24 to verse 28. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. While men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. Notice, while men slept, while they were not paying attention, while they were not alert, while they were not present, just very much like Satan does. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Sometimes, you know, people don't realize what they carry. Many times, people don't realize what's hiding in there. There's a lot of times that Satan has hidden things in there. He has sown things. He has invested things, and we didn't realize it. And people suddenly wake up, and what they find manifestations and expressions and situations going on in their lives that are a complete mystery to them. And they go, how is this happening? I mean, some of those things that people experience are so deep. They are so entwined, so it's almost like people's feet are bound up in strings, in wires, and they can't find a way to unentangle those bondages. Like that man, he just woke up. So he woke up, and when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tears also. Verse 27. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in your field? Didn't you sow good seeds in your field? From whence then has all these tears? How come he has all these tears? Whence then has it tears? And he said unto them, verse 28, an enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. Satan is adept at creating complications in so many believers' lives through seeds that he plants over time, years and years and years. He's a master strategist. He sows these seeds while we're not paying attention, while we don't realize it many times. And sometimes we are conscious of it, but we take it for granted. Like, oh, that's nothing. Like I said last week, in the story of that daughter of Abraham in Luke chapter 13, who was bound, I call her Lakisha, in Luke chapter 13, And verse 10, he was teaching in one of the synagogues, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. She couldn't lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, you are loose, spoke the word. And he laid his hands, exercised the power, dominion, and laid his hands on, and immediately she was straight and glorified God. And in verse 16, he said, when they were questioning the leaders of the synagogue, religious, talking about, you know, there's a lot of religious people that don't have the spirit, they don't know the spirit of God's word, right? They are so stuck with religion and letters And Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are not just letters. Because the letter kills, right? It's John chapter 6, verse 63. I think it is. So the letter kills, but it's the spirit that gives life. John 6. Glory to God. So a lot of people bound by letters. They carry on as though, you know, and they quote the letters of the scriptures, but the spirit of the life of God is not in the things they are saying. John chapter 6, verse 63, in the King James, it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It says in the Amplified, it is the spirit, Holy Spirit, who gives life, and he is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. There is no profit in it. The words, the truths, I love that. The truths. Oh, Holy Ghost, you are amazing. The truths. That's how we started this service tonight. The truths. Our total life freedom, right? It's where we started this service. Our total life freedom is in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Word of God. And I explained truths out of that truth. And I'm loving this. Because the Lord is showing us, he's saying it is the Spirit who gives life. He's the person and he's the power of God who gives the Zoe life, the abundant life of God. And he is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. There is no profit in it. The words or truths in brackets, this is the Amplified, the words, truths that I've been speaking to you are spirit and life. See, that's why those religious people, many of them leaders born and bred in their religiosity and in their service of things and things in the temple, even there's nothing wrong with that, but they missed God so much because they put so much emphasis on the letter of God's commands and they missed the spirit. And Jesus said, when he came, the words that he spoke to them, the truths that he spoke to them, were not just letters. They were spirit and they were life. And through the spirit and through the life of the words that Jesus spoke to the people, they received the life of God. Because the Holy Spirit engaged the spirit of the word and gave life. Remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, said, and if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will give life or quicken. Hallelujah. It's the word quicken he used. It is the word quicken. It will give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 11, I believe. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is studying with us tonight. He's imparting life to us tonight. He's just giving us illumination and revelation. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit, that the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in you. See, they went on and on talking about the Sabbath and you don't do things on the Sabbath because that's the commandment. And then Jesus asked them in verse 16 of Luke chapter 13, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years? It was Satan who bound her. Remember that scripture we read in Matthew chapter 13? The enemy has done this. It's the enemy who did this. The tears, just Matthew chapter 13 and verse 28. The tears, the weeds didn't just show. No, as the actual fruit, the seeds that were sown began to spring up, then the weeds, the thorns, the destructive elements also started to spring up. And the owner of the field said, ah, the enemy has done this. And the Bible says he did it when men were asleep. This is exactly how Satan works. But glory to God, he said to us in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be rooted out. Every plant by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the eternal truths of the Word of God. Every plant. So glory to God. Hallelujah. We exercise dominion. We have God's authority, Jesus' authority, which he gave to us when he rose from the dead after the resurrection. Right? But in order to exercise our God-given authority and dominion, we have to be free. Like I said at the beginning of this service, you cannot be a slave to a master and then want to exercise dominion over that master. You can't do it. So, in order to exercise dominion and walk in real dominion, we must be free of the shackles of the enemy. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, which we read, this evil genius is coming, right? But he has nothing in me. That is, every plant that was not sown by my heavenly Father does not exist in me. There is no plant. There is no... Look, it has nothing in common. John 14 and verse 29. I tell you before it happens. Verse 30, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of this world, is coming, and he has no claim on me. Why? He has nothing in common with me. I don't have anything that belongs to him. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. Therefore, he has no power over me. That means if there is something in him, in me, that belongs to him, I can't exercise power over him. If I have a commonality with him, then he can lay claim to me. Then he can exercise power over me. Then, like the sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19, we can be trying to exercise authority and exercise dominion, but nothing will happen. Right? Because there are plants that have not been uprooted, that were not planted by our Heavenly Father, that were actually planted by our enemy. Those plants, whether they were planted 100 years ago through some ancestor, or whether they were planted 100 days ago or 100 weeks ago through our own carelessness or through our own willful sin or willful disobedience, whatever the case, if there's a plant or there are plants not planted by our Heavenly Father, Satan can lay claim. He can lay claim to those plants and therefore exercise power and authority over us. Glory to God. Well, there are two major ways in which total life freedom and the destruction of yokes and bondages happens. We started talking about this last week. This is really all the service that I have, the rest of my time here, as short as it is, that I have to actually devote to talking about this and reading a few scriptures. Glory to God. And I trust God in our next session, when we come back for our next session, I'm going to just maybe touch a little bit, I'll be led by the Holy Spirit, touch a little bit on how to actually exercise dominion and deliverance and help minister to people and break yokes and set them free, right? And I might give steps, because there are ways to go about that. There are steps that should be observed so that we get it right. However, there are two major ways which people are set free, and we talked about this last week. The first one is the power encounter. The second one is the truth encounter. The power encounter is simply just the exercising of God's power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we read in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27 last week, where the Bible says, in that day, it shall come to pass. In that day. That's, today is the day then. Today is the day. And it shall come to pass. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. In that day that his burden, who is his? The enemy, the thief, the devourer, our liar, our adversary, Satan. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The yoke shall be destroyed. So that's the power encounter. When people are set free by the unleashing, the disbursement of God's power. And many times, that's good in the moment, but that's not good enough for going forward. Because in addition to the disbursement of that power must be an immersion in the truths of the Word of God. We've just read that. But we'll read a couple more scriptures, one we closed out with last week. So that's the power. And you know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, that's the anointing that was operating on his life still, and operating on our lives as well. This is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10. And, oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the power encounter. The anointing of the Holy Spirit sets the captives free. Glory to God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit does. Amen. And on and on like that, right? We see the power of God at work in demonstrating God's dominion to set the captives free. That's the power encounter. That's the power encounter. That anointing is with us today by the Holy Spirit, right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Let's read that first in the King James, and then let's read that also in the Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Let's read this first in the King James. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, that's the power of God. In the Amplified, it says right there, now the Lord is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings freedom, that brings liberty, that brings emancipation from bondage. Now, in the next verse to this, though, it picks up the role and the place and the power of the Word of God. How the Holy Spirit does not just disburse the power, the anointing, but also uses the Word of God to enable us to continue to enjoy total life freedom. So he's in the verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. Now in verse 18, let's read this from the King James. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed, we're transfigured. This is talking about the life transformation that comes to the life of a believer, the experience of supernatural, spiritual transformation that happens in the life of a believer by the Holy Spirit through the agency of the Word of God. See how he says in the Amplified, all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued, this is the Amplified now, because we continued to behold in the Word of God. Let's read this again. So now we've talked about the power encounter, right? The Lord is that Spirit. Where the anointing of the Holy Spirit is, there is emancipation from bondage. There's liberty, emancipation from bondage and freedom, right? But then here is the truth encounter that is ongoing, must be ongoing in order for us to continue to enjoy total life freedom and then to be able to exercise our God-given authority and dominion. Hallelujah. It says there in verse 18, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued, not just one time, not just once in a while, not just every now and then. No, we continued to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are then constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit. This is so powerful. Saints, this is so powerful. It's the power encounter, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings liberty, that brings emancipation from bondage and freedom. But then here is the truth encounter, which also happens by the Holy Spirit through the agency of the Word of God. Because we continue, he says, we continue to behold. This is where did we see this continue, this word continue last week? Remember? John chapter 8. Let's go back there. This is where a lot of believers miss it. This is where a lot of believers fail. Right? Because the continuance is missing. Believers, they get a blessing from God, they feel good about it. You know, something happens. We all know something did happen. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is great blessing, maybe in a special service, in a great convention or something, you know, great conference. Glory to God, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, everything is awesome. People they're healed, they're set free, they're delivered, their yokes are broken. Glory to God. But then we leave from there and we don't continue. And then what happens? The enemy comes and brings back his tears while men slept. You remember we read in that Matthew chapter 12, glory to God, from verse 43 to 45, where Jesus said, when an evil, let's read it just right here, real quick. The Lord is really helping us tonight. Glory to God. Look at all the places where we've been such a short time. It's awesome. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Then he says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and just beautified, garnished, decorated, but empty. Empty, just swept, but empty. That is, there is no continuance. There is no establishing through the word of God. There is no ongoing work of the Holy Spirit through the word. There is no ongoing truth encounter that brings transformation and transfiguration into the image of Christ. Then what does he say? I'm going to go back and bring seven more devils. And this explains, we've done this. We've already talked about this in a couple of previous services. Then Jesus said this, the latter state of that man is worse than the beginning. Why? Because there was no continuance. Here we are, where we read this scripture in John chapter 8 last week. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 8 and verse 31 first. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. That's the continuance there. This is not a one-time deal. This is not a once-in-a-while deal. People say, Pastor, do I have to always study the word, always read the word every day? Yes. Do I have to do Bible study? Yes. Regularly, yes. Do I have to read the Bible every day? Yes. Pray every day? Yes. Go to worship? Yes. Every week? Yes. Do Bible study every week? Yes. Yes. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, and you will observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then, he said, you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Look at all that. There's continuance. We're not even talking about, that's not deliverance, that's not total life freedom, that's not authority and dominion, that's success. That's prospering and having success. There's continuance. Now, when you talk about living in freedom and you talk about walking in dominion and authority, there must be continuance. Let's read it again. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus said to them, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? Verse 32. And you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. That word is, you will have revelation knowledge of the truth. And the truth will make you free. That's the truth encounter right there. By the word of God. You will know the truth on a continuous basis. And that truth will keep you free. And that truth will keep you engaged in exercising your God-given authority and dominion. If you continue, if you continue, not that you had a few great times that year when you had encounters with the word. No, if you continue, he said. If you continue. And we saw the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, 19. If you continue, when you are transfigured, then you enjoy. Totally, the truth will make you free and it will keep you free. And then they answered him, but we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. Verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So there's the power encounter, then there's the truth encounter. A truth encounter is revelatory truths that we encounter daily through the Holy Spirit out of the Word of God. And where dominion and authority is concerned, I might add, it's a lot of the New Testament, really. A lot of the Gospels, and especially for the New Testament saint, a lot of the epistles. A lot of the epistles. I remember sometime earlier this year, this was one of those messages that I started. I think I probably did maybe like one or two services of it. I had so much, but you know, I could tell the Lord had something more in a different, slightly different direction. But I titled that message, Born of God, I Know Who I Am. These are the revelatory truths. And it was supposed to be partly a study in the book of Ephesians. Now, of course, through our studies of spiritual authority and dominion, Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15 all the way down to verse 23 has become one of our great, 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 great focuses, scripture focuses. Glory to God, it's been awesome. But just the epistles, just if you even start, just take from that Ephesians chapter 1, who you are in Christ. Now, the part that we have really delved into, talking about spiritual authority and dominion, is from verse 15. Right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you all in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Let me ask you, where do we get this spirit of revelation? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know. Where do we get all this from? We get it from the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. We get it from the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. Right? The eyes of our understanding are enlightened through the Word of God, through being immersed in the truths of the Word. We receive the spirit of wisdom through being immersed in the spirit of the Word of God. We will receive revelation knowledge through being immersed in the spirit of the Word of God. All of this come from the Holy Spirit by the agency of the Word of God. Hallelujah. But even if you just back up, you don't start from verse 6, just back up to Ephesians 1 from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in it. Just look at the rich revelatory truths in the Word of God. This is the truth encounter that keeps us free, total life freedom, and enables us, empowers us to exercise spiritual authority and dominion as God's children. The knowledge of God's truth, knowing who we are, I'm born of God. I carry his divine seed. I'm a new creation. I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm a God on the earth. I'm royalty. I'm righteous. I'm enough and sufficient. I'm blessed in all things. I'm highly favored. I'm holy. I'm accepted. I'm rich and prosperous. I'm the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I mean, just it goes on and on. Revelatory knowledge. Revelatory truths. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and it will keep you free. Glory to God. Power encounter, truth encounter. Let's close out here in Isaiah chapter 14. Glory to God. Let's close out. Time is so far gone tonight. Let's close out real quick right here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus came. He came that he might lead captivity captive. Amen. He came that he might lead captivity captive, set men free. Glory to God. Give us a new beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe it's Isaiah 14. Hallelujah. Let's close out right here, real quick, right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. Let's read Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 1. And let's close it out there in verse 5. Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 1 to 5. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and he will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors.
Yeah.
Remember where the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, that Jesus took captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Let's finish reading this. He says, look at that verse 2. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. That's total life freedom. That's deliverance. That's having dominion over those that had authority over us, those who used to hold us captive. Verse 3, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from your sorrow, and from your fear, and from your hard bondage wherein you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, your enemy, and you will say, how has the oppressor seized the golden city seized? The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Woo! That is total life freedom, my friends. That is engaging dominion and freedom at a high level. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, he said, therefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Jesus did. Led captivity, brought us out of the oppression of our enemy and gave us gifts. Dominion was one of the first gifts he gave us. It's one of the first graces. Many other graces follow, many of which we have read about tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You and I, we possess the blessings, the seed of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Through us, the Lord will lead captivity captive, and we will enjoy total life freedom and continually exercise our God-given authority and dominion. Father, we bless you tonight. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're out of time, saints. We got to go. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you. Good night.